Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, New International Version. Are you ready? Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles, as aliens, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives. Everybody say such good. Such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will, by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of stupid people. Oh, foolish, pardon me. This is an amplified version, maybe. Foolish people, verse 16. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor or king. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done. As we've been worshiping you now, as we break open your word, you stand over it to see it performed. I pray, anoint these lips of clay once again to burn faith in the hearts of those that hear. Let your anointing come. Holy Spirit, come upon us. All those online will be sure to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated tonight, and we do have notes that are being passed around just now. Thank you, gentlemen. A lot of talk about aliens. Anybody ever notice that? Raise your hand if you feel like you've seen an alien aircraft or had some kind of unusual experience where you saw something in the sky, or a few of you. Aliens. Foreigners is another word that he uses in the text. Aliens, foreigners, is an important concept for Peter, and he writes it, he uses it a number of different times, 1 Peter 1 and verse 1, verse 17. It's an important concept for Peter, reminding Christians that they are strangers. You are an alien in the world. I don't mean a flying saucer. I'm talking about a foreigner. What do you mean? I mean, I'm a United States citizen, but before I'm a United States citizen, and I'm a patriot all the way. But before that, I'm a Christian. Before that, my home is in heaven. I've been born again. I've been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. Peculiar as I might be, my home is in heaven. I'm passing through. My life is but a vapor. This is just a clay vessel, if you will. All of us are passing through. And you see, 1 Peter really makes an emphasis about it. And I'm convinced the reason is because a lot of people forget that this is not our home. This is not it. And it's important to note that, because if you think this is it and you get caught up and bamboozled into thinking about success as attaining material wealth or objects or fame or fortune, and you get caught up in that whole mammon thing, then you'll lose out with God, and actually we won't fulfill the reason that we've visiting this planet in this time. Though it's an important concept for Peter, reminding Christians who they are, strangers and aliens. I am not of this world. I want you to say that. I am not of this world. There's got to be an awareness that you're not of this world. And if you don't have that awareness, you'll have a tendency to become like the world. We're here to tell the world, tell our world of the wonders of God. We're here. That's why we're here. We're not. If you were just to get born again and give your heart to Jesus, and if you haven't done that, I implore you now to be reconciled with God, to have your sins forgiven. Just by coming to church doesn't mean you're going to heaven. The reason you get to go to heaven is because you've been made holy, you've been cleansed, you've been washed. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquity. The chastisement that brought us peace, those verses written in Isaiah 53, 700 years before Jesus ever came. Over 300 Old Testament scriptures that talk about the Messiah. If you've never received Jesus, who is the Messiah, he's also called the Christ. Christ is the Greek word for anointed one. He's the ruling, reigning king. Jesus Christ is not his last name, which is, I thought it was, until I got edumacated a little bit. You must receive Jesus. That is the only way for you to have your sin forgiven. That's it. There is no other way. There is no other truth. And there certainly is no other life. And if it was just for us to get saved, born again, then the moment we pray to receive Jesus, we die on the spot. I've said it over and over. And that's not what happens. Otherwise, we'd have people lying all around here, headed off to heaven right away. No, he leaves us here. Why? So that we could be his foreigners, his ministers, his ambassadors. What is an ambassador? Ambassador is sent from one nation to another. We've been sent from heaven here, translated. Born in sin, but translated out of sin, out of darkness, into the marvelous kingdom by the blood of Jesus. Can someone say hallelujah? So we're here to tell people of the Lord. That's why God raised up the Apostle Paul. Turn to Acts chapter 26. I mean, just think about this. The world was filled with darkness, and John 1, he came into the world, though the world did not recognize him. The light of the world, Jesus. The exact representation of the Father. The fullness of God. In human form, fully God, fully man. There is a mystery there, certainly. So he comes into the world and he shines. The light of the world shines. A great light is dawned. Isaiah talks about it. Darkness all over the world. So he comes and he shines and he shows us what the Father's like, and he makes a way for us to come out of darkness. Look what the Lord says to Paul in Acts 26 and verse 17. Paul is a Jew, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He's persecuting the church with letters from the high priests and religious leaders of the day. He's on his way to Damascus to go do the same. He gave approval of the first martyr, Stephen. They laid their coats at the feet of a young man by the name of Saul. Saul of Tarsus. And Saul goes to Damascus to persecute those who were of this false religion called the Way, or Christians. And the Lord visits him, and he's telling his testimony in Acts 26. Go to verse 17. It's the Lord speaking to him after this bright light shines around him. He hears a voice. The voice says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul says, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." By the way, think about that for just a moment. You speak evil against another church. You come against a church, the body of Christ. You're actually persecuting Jesus himself. As strange as some of us churches are. Somebody said, "I am going to go find a perfect church." Don't go. Do not go. Because you, ma'am, sir, will ruin it. There is no perfect church. All churches have issues and challenges. Do we? Yes, we have a few. We work through them daily. And God is adding to our number daily. And we're very, very grateful. Look what he says. Verse 17. Acts 26, verse 17 and 18. God speaks to him and says, "I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by me. We're called, like Paul, to confront darkness. And this text is profound. Because if you see yourself as somebody who's not an alien or someone who's a part of the world system, you'll have a tendency to yield to it. How do we live as Christians in a hostile world? Because it is hostile out there. Everybody say, it's hostile out there. Look at verse 11 with me, whatever version you're using. Verse 11 reads, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain." So you have to see your identity as one from heaven. And then he tells them, abstain. I don't like that for a number of reasons. Why not? Because it means that there's a problem on the inside of me, maybe. Ah, prepared this other message, but it fits right in here. Just feel like the Lord said, no, 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 I was preaching on Romans 7 and Romans 8, put hours into it. Romans 7, who will deliver me from this body of death? Paul talks in Romans 7 about we're all jacked up. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, you jacked up and you know it. We all have issues. We all have a fallen human sin nature, fallen human nature, everyone. Who will deliver me from this body of death, Paul says. Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus. Body of death is literally one of the ways it would kill someone. I think I spoke of it just recently, where if you had murdered someone, then they would tie that person to your back and you would walk around with them. And guess what would happen to them over the course of time? Rigor mortis. And then what would happen? We'd have to ask the doctor to come up and explain to us the cycle of all that. But what ends up happening is the person carrying that person is no longer alive because it's disease. It just gets on you. And he says, who will deliver me from this body of death? Talking about his nature, his fallen human nature, the very things I want to do, I don't do. I remember the first time I read this. The very things I want to do, I don't do. The very things, there's war. He talks about this war that's within him. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You see a sign that says, don't step on the grass, and you're like, right? Am I right? So it just wants to do stuff it's not supposed to. It shows us what sin is. I went to an all-boys boarding school, and it was my senior year. You would think I would know better. And we had chapel every morning. So chapel that morning, some person read something out of the scriptures, usually prayed. It was just totally dead, but I did hear the word there, and it made an effect in me later on. But one of the announcements was, there's been students behind the chapel playing golf. That was me and some others. Do not play golf behind the chapel, because if you hit the stained glass window that's over 100 years old, your parents are going to pay for it, and it's going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars. I thought, yeah, I'm never going to hit the window. So later on, the next day, I'm looking at the stained glass window, and I have a bunch of balls, and I'm going to drive over one of the buildings that is in front of me. It happens to be called Johnson Hall. I tee a ball up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to hack this thing. I'm going to whack this. I just creamed it, went right over. It was fantastic. Teed up another one. I've never seen a golf ball slice as hard as the one I hit. It took a complete left turn and hit the stained glass window. And as it was going to the stained glass window, I was just holding my head, and it hit the hit the lead between the two, you know, the windows that hold it together. And the idea was the whole thing would break, but that's somewhat what would happen if you broke a stained glass window. That's what your fallen human nature does. The very thing that it's not supposed to do, just wants to do stuff like that. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Romans 7, verse 18, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. That is the issue with every single person. Until you're born again, until you give your life to Jesus, then you are no longer held captive by the fallen human nature, your sin nature. You're able to break out of that, but you still have to reckon that thing dead. And so Romans 7 and Romans 8, it's the answer to our dilemma. Romans 7, verse 24, what a wretched man I am who will rescue me from this body of death. So when it says abstain, we're talking about living in a hostile world as aliens, and the first thing he says in verse 11 is abstain. You know what abstain means? It's right in your notes. It's to basically run away from. It means to resist. To abstain is to distance oneself from fleshly lust. So in other words, if you have an issue with the internet, don't go on the internet. I mean, you know, like learn to control yourself. Put structures in place so that you don't fall prey to the things that are on the internet. There was this young boy years ago, and he struggled with pornography. And this is before it was on everyone's devices and all over the place. You had to go to a store to buy a magazine. Back before everything was pornified. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so he just could not resist going into the magazine store, and he would sneak and he'd grab a magazine and look at, and he just felt horrible about it. And so he came to Dr. Morocco and said, I need help. He said, well, what's the problem, son? He said, I've got a pornography problem. He says, well, tell me, how does that happen? You're too young to get pornography. How's that happening? He said, well, every day when I come home from school, I'm walking home and I go past the Five and Dime. I don't know what store it was. And I'd go in and I'd look at the magazines. He said, okay, I'm going to pray for you. And I go, here's the plan. Go home another way. Go. That's abstaining. Some of you need to change your friends. Your friends really aren't friends. They're more broken than you, and they're pulling you down. So if you have a struggle with alcohol, you don't hang out with people that go to the bar. I'm not feeling the love. Can I come back here a second? Hello. If people struggle with certain issues that you're struggling with, you don't have fellowship with that. That's not abstaining. That's partnering. And all of us have come from some kind of a background, and it's a picture that there's issue on the inside of us that needs healing. Now, you couldn't get me to do any of that stuff now. That's because I got set free. John, you got set free. But you got to keep yourself free. There's a very real devil. There's a very real sinful nature. Some of you got a problem with shopping. Some of you got a problem with fishing. I took my wife to the store recently, and when we were going in, we had a very powerful conversation. It's my story, I get to tell it, I'm going over here. Plus, we remember things differently. Doesn't make me wrong. Let's just remember differently. I walked in and I said, now, as we're walking in, I said, okay, how much time? She said, well, how much time do you need? I said, I want to be in and out of here in 30 minutes. We should have that testimony night. She did it. She said, I did it. Praise the Lord. It's cute. We walked in. I said, now, it's not shopping. It's hunting. Because that's the way it is, really, the difference between shopping for a man and shopping for a woman. I've told you before, shopping for a woman is kind of flipping tags and checking stuff out and just kind of looking through all the racks. shopping. Yeah, it's fun. A lot of women like doing that. I don't like doing that. I know I needed a couple t-shirts. I'm wearing one of them right now. I get right in. I went straight, boom. Men's like, boom, boom, boom. Went up, found the t-shirt, looked for it, found the sale rack, got it. I was in and out of there in 15 minutes. Done. See, some of you cave into things. And we should not do that. We should abstain. Everybody say abstain. In verse 13. See, because if you don't learn to push yourself, I'm not saying everybody has a shopping problem. Obviously, not everybody does. But some people do. And you need to abstain from flesh. What is the fleshly lust that's pulling you in to make you a part of the world? What is it? Pastor Karen does not have a shopping problem. Praise the Lord. You're welcome. You want to say anything else?
I have a lot to say, but I'm not going to say it.
Look at verse. Where are we? Live good lives. Moving on. Verse 12. Read verse 12 with me. Verse 12. Live such good. Everybody say such good lives. I saw that whole section going over way differently in my mind. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong. Oh my goodness. They may see your good deeds and glorify God. Leave the scripture up on the day that he visits us. Live such good lives. So that's the next thing. How do you live in a hostile world? One, you need to abstain from some things. Two, you need to live such a good life. Come on, a good life lives. A good life means to do good deeds, verse 12. A good life means you're doing good things. Do you know that people are going to accuse you no matter what you do? I have been accused of the craziest things. It's completely not true. Do you know what they accused Christians of in the first century, second century? They accused them of being cannibals. You want to know how? Communion. And they took communion and it said they eat each other. I'm serious. These are some of the things that Christians were accused of. You know what else they accused them of? Incest. You know why? Because of the deep love that they have one for another in families and in the church. This love that they have, this brotherly love, this phileo, this affection that they have, that we have for one another. I love you. You can feel it. And the world doesn't have that. So when they see that, they're like, oh, they must be queer. No, really. They accuse. Are you okay? Just go ahead and cough a little bit. It'll help you get over it. Must be something weird. People will always say stuff about you. They will always accuse you. But keep doing good. Live good. Do good things. So much so that they can't even find anything. And that's what he's saying. How do you live in this, as an alien in this world? You live such a good life by your good deeds. It's giving people help. It's strengthening people. And that's an unusual thing in the Roman world, certainly. Let goodness be seen. You know who you are by what you do. The way you behave is what you believe. I don't care what comes out of your mouth. The way that you act is what you actually believe. The level of Christianity you have in the dark when nobody will catch you is your level of maturity. We should lift our hands and just find some comfort from the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Be submissive. I don't know. I think it was a cultural thing. I just learned to hate that word. Not submitting to nothing. Well, then you're going to destroy your life. Bob Dylan in his Christian years wrote, you're going to serve somebody. And you cannot say you're not submitting to God. Well, then who are you submitting to? You? How's that working? Who are you going to submit to? Everyone has to submit to someone. Really, the word here is to be subject to every living creature. It's the idea that you submit yourselves, verse 13, go ahead, put it up. You submit yourselves for the Lord's sake It's not an issue of ego. Human authority talks about whether the emperor or king, depending upon what version you have, as a supreme authority. When you submit one to another in love. I got a phone call today. And I did not like the... You were there. I got a phone call from someone who has been around a lot less time than me. From headquarters. And I noticed my... It's interesting how the Lord does this with me. I'm studying submission. I get a call from somebody who I probably could have changed their diapers earlier on. In other words, I'm a lot older than them. I've been around for a long time, and they're calling me. And it's a correction, questioning me about an HR issue. And I watched myself be kind of like, I bristled. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I bristled a little bit, and I realized, wrong attitude. And he was right, so that's the other thing that's crazy. Don't you hate that? Don't you hate it when they're right? But I watched myself bristle, and it was my ego. It was my ego. It's like I got my back up when I'm getting confronted about something. Wrong attitude. It instantly felt like not good. I changed my tone. I was able to shift. Followed through, texted, thanked them for doing a good job, and my ego took a shot. Now, did I do that because, for what reason did I do that? Well, the Holy Spirit dwelling in me, living in me, I was convicted, number one. I felt this, that's not the right spirit. I felt it. I could feel it. The second thing is I did it not so much really for any other reason that I'm serving God. You submit one to another out of reverence for God. That's what it's all about. For the Lord's sake. For whose sake? For the Lord's sake. And if you study this, it's to be submitted to people that are in positions to help other people. It's this conscious awareness of someone who is responsible for an area. And you submit to them out of reverence for God. Has nothing to do with their education. Has nothing to do with whether you know more. Has nothing to do with that. If they're in actually a position of serving people and protecting them, a position of authority, you must learn to submit to that. Come on, you go to a restaurant maybe and the maitre d' is there and they say, well, you're just going to have to wait. Are you going to buck? Are you going to buck that? Some of you buck in it. You know what buck is? You kick at anything. It's because you got wounded when you're in your growing up. You got wounded by your father, wounded by your mother, wounded by your uncle, and you have this broken place on the inside of you. And it's not going to submit to nothing. Ain't nobody ever going to control me. And I've seen people come in the church. I've actually seen people like that it's a demon. Through a trauma, they pick up this spirit of rebellion, and then they can't submit. They don't submit to God. They don't resist to a pastor. They don't submit to the government. They don't submit to anything, but they don't realize, actually, that hell is operating in them and is going to destroy them and take them to a devil's hell. Now, we don't like the word submit because I think we've been trained in our culture to not like it because our own ego prevents us at times. We do it for the Lord's sake. Everybody say, for the Lord's sake. You know, there's times when our government might do things that is out of alignment with the word of God. And in that case, you're not going to submit. You're going to have to choose whether you're going to submit to the government. If they tell you that being Christian is illegal, you can no longer be a Christian, burn incense to the emperor as they did in the first century. And then what did our founding fathers do? Our forefathers of the faith, the fathers of the faith. You know what they did? They didn't reject the Lord. They were martyred. They're like, we can't, and they died. So there may come a time when government would say, you can no longer read the Bible. It's all a hate crime. Everything's a hate crime. You can't. Guess what? You become an underground church or something. I don't know. Or some people will deny their faith. So you submit to government. Government is ordained by God. Oh, I feel it. I feel the pain right now. Government's ordained by God. Say that. Government's ordained by God. Not what they do all the time is ordained by God. What's ordained by God is the idea of law and order and consequence. That's ordained by God. Now there's corruption and perversion and in the government, and that's not ordained by God. But God is a lawgiver. God, He is our lawgiver. He longed to be a theocracy, really. But Israel rejected it. So government is from God. Romans talks about that. The idea of government. In fact, some people think when the restrainer is removed, talking of the rapture, that it's a removing of government, and then anarchy comes and the end comes. I believe it's a rapture of the church. Now, employers and other, there's five spheres of authority that you need to learn to submit to. Government's one of them. Employers another one. Family is another one. My mom just rebuked me. She slapped me, a loving slap, not like a real hardcore slap. I got that earlier when I was a little boy, and I needed it, but she rebuked me. I was teasing her, and she didn't like it. She said, sorry. Love you, Mom. Please forgive me. To a certain degree, even though she's, you know, I'm 35, and she's... To a certain degree, I mean, she's my mother, right? There has to, I got it. She, you have to honor and learn to submit. And it's all unto the Lord. You need to honor your father and mother. Well, honor my mother as long as I live, as long as you live, I'll be honoring my mother and father. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to shorten your lifespan. It's not about, if there's about compromising your morals, that, no. So if your boss says, I want you to cheat on this, I want you to fill this thing, and I want you to, you say, no, I can't. They say, well, then you're not working here. Well, then quit the job, because it's not about, anybody tries to get you to compromise your morals. There's a higher law at work. And you can look in the book of Acts when they stood before the religious leaders of the day with this great, miraculous, notable miracle, and they said, that's it. Don't speak and teach in the name of Jesus. And they said, sorry, bro. That's the bro version of the Bible. Sorry, we can't help but testify, but what will you seen and heard? And far be it for obey you rather than God. You judge. We're going to obey God. That is a picture of levels of authority and submission. But we do it unto the Lord, the highest. Who is the ultimate authority in your life? And I'm going to tell you right now. It's not my mother, it's not my father, it's not Karen, it's not Dr. Morocco. It is the Word of God. The Word of God is your ultimate authority. See, why do you do things? Why is something right and something wrong? Because it says it right here. It's in Scripture. Right and wrong, we believe as Christians in absolute truth. There's not an ambiguous blend of some hollow that of what truth is. It's a Filipino drink. Anyway. And if you never learn submission, and you will never fulfill the plan that God has for you. You have to learn submission. Children are not to rebel. Our kids were strong-willed. And they knew. It was a quote that we heard years prior to having children. And read it in books. And here's the quote. We would say, Pastor Karen would say to the kids, I would say to them, if I let you win, you lose. So I will always win. It will always be my way. You will submit to the rules and the authority of this house. Because if you don't, you'll curse yourself. They didn't like that too much. Pastor Karen said it much sweeter. She's going to tell you. Go ahead.
You're putting me on.
She said it much sweeter. I had moments of intensity where I said, you see the clothes on your back? I bought them. See the air that you're breathing? I made it. See the food that you're eating? I've also bought that. I own everything, and I can shrink it to a size of a dime and stick it in my pocket. So you should obey. That didn't always go so well. But children learn to submit. You've got to, don't you let your kids walk in rebellion. You let your kids talk hate over your wife or hate over your father. You don't let them do that. You stop them. You teach them to submit to God and submit to leadership. You teach them to be honoring to leaders and elder and the elderly. Come on, somebody say amen. Submission touches all areas of life. All right. talking about moving through this world as aliens. Live as free men by living as servants of God. Verse 16, live as free men. I was born in 1966. Do the math, you figured I'm not 35 years old. I was born in 1966, and in the 60s, they had a thing called free love. There was bumper stickers. How many remember free love? Was not love, and it was not free. And it really was an excuse for perversion and lust. And it opened the door to a floodgate of the demonic in the United States of America. And a great Jesus movement ensued. It's so important for us to not use our freedom as a cover-up for evil. The only real freedom is to be submitted to a loving God who loves you more than you ever could, who love you more than your mom or your father, love you more than anybody ever could, to be submitted and serve him. And in that, you will find freedom. Outside of that, you will find bondage. You're not created to be in this world on your own. No one can love you more than God. He will bless you, help you, and fulfill your purpose for which you were created. Show proper respect to everyone. Verse 17. Show proper respect to everyone. That's important. We need to teach our kids that. We need to live that way. Love the brethren. Everybody say, love the brethren. That means love each other. Somebody said, I'm being loving. Okay, go read 1 Corinthians 13 and find out just how loving you are. You read 1 Corinthians 13 and you get halfway through it and you're like, help me, God. Because we all fall short. We need God's help to what love really is. Love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. And say that you love God and you love chocolate cake. Two very different things. Loving God. What is love? Read 1 Corinthians 13. You know what? Let's do it. Let's go there. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues, verse 1, of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries, all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor, give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not love, I gain nothing. Here it is. You ready? Here, just do a little checklist to see how you're doing. Love is patient. That knocked out about 25%. Love is kind. There goes another percentage of points. Does not envy. Don't. Does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there's prophecies, they will cease. Where there's tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childhood things behind me. For now, verse 12, we see only a reflection as in a mirror, and then we shall see face to face. Now we know in part, and we shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. Write that out. Memorize it. Get it down in your heart, because that's what we're supposed to be to each other. That's where it's the way it's supposed to be to our children. That's the way we're supposed to be in our community as aliens, moving through a hostile world that doesn't love. Our friend, Pastor Russell Johnson in Seattle, they just had one of their young adults shot outside the church. We'll never have a shooting here, but let me just say that we have the highest trained, incredible security team and they're armed all over the place. Do you know that? That's by design. We will never have a shooting here. Come on, somebody say amen. In the middle of a hostile world, we're to live this alien life of love. Some people are hard to love. Fear God. Everybody say, fear God. Fear God. Show proper respect. Love the brother and fear God. That's a part of respect. Verse 17. Fear God. The Awe of God by John Bevere is one of the greatest modern day books out. I'd encourage every single person to read it. The Awe of God. If you have the fear of God, it will keep you. The fear of God has been one of the number one prayers of my wife over me and my family and all of us. Teach us to fear you. Give us the fear of the Lord. Give us the fear of the Lord. Because if you have the fear of the Lord, you just don't, it helps you. Keeps you from evil. Keeps you from sin. And it's not fear like fear of the boogeyman. It's totally different. We had a very clear awareness growing up that you just weren't going to come against, you're not going to come against mom and dad. That would be like pure insanity. How did that happen? That was the way that they raised us, of just correction. You just didn't do it. I mean, I didn't dare mouth off and call my father a name. Are you kidding me? I just didn't. I mean, like, seriously, like, that's dad. There's no way I would have done it. They instilled that in us. And it wasn't an abuse. It was a reverence. It was a fear. We went to Catholic church for years before I got born again. I'm told the first time we went to, I don't know if it's the first time, but walking in the Catholic church, I was able to lift my voice loud enough. We walked in, I said, jump, Jesus! My mama told me that. They're gonna kill you! I got some picture of Jesus on the cross there, didn't understand they already had killed him. But he rose again. Catholics leave him on the cross. I don't care for the Catholic cross too much. It's not a picture of the resurrection. But there was this awe, like, God help you if you open a candy in the Catholic church with the crinkling of all that plastic. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And while some of that is not good, another aspect of it, of the fear of the Lord, can be very good. Honor the king. You say, well, we don't have a king. We have a president. That's true. We do have a president. I remember over the years, there's been some presidents that I didn't feel like honoring. But it just rubbed me wrong. I think the first time I felt it was with Bill Clinton. He defiled the Oval Office and made an embarrassment of America overseas. People laughed at him for the different things that he did with an intern and on and on and on. And I remember that. And I just remember, like, wow, that is like horrible. But then there was this, it was like people just lost respect for the office of the presidency. The office of presidency, the president is to be honored, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, that because of the nation, we are an honorable people and America is the greatest nation on the earth. The office of president should be honored if it's someone who's defiled the Oval Office or someone who's leading righteously. The office of president should be honored. It's a picture of honoring. Why, you said, well, they're not honorable, but you are. You're honorable, and you honor from that place as a servant of God to honor those who are not even. You said, but you don't know what my father did. I can't honor him. No, you can, because you're honorable. You still can have boundaries. You still can do different things to protect yourself, but we're moving through this world, this hostile world, as aliens, and these are some important things of how to live as a Christian in a hostile world. One, abstain from sinful desires. Two, live a good life, good deeds. Be submissive, verse 13. Live as free men, live as servants of God, verse 16. Show proper respect to everyone. Lift your hands to heaven. Keys, please. Holy Spirit, we want to be this. We want to be the fragrance of heaven and the earth. Come right now. Come right now and bring freedom. You know, when I was preaching, I got on that moment about submission. And I made reference to some who have been through great difficulty and maybe trauma, and perhaps you made a vow that you will never, nobody will ever harm me that way, or I'll never submit to authority that way. No other pastor, no other man, no other woman, nobody's going to do that to me ever again. And you can make an inner vow, and as a result, you can keep yourself from submitting to God because you made an inner vow never to submit to anybody, and that you are the measure of all things. And as a result, you're living in rebellion to God. There's some people that need to be healed of that. I felt it when I was preaching. Stand up all across this place. I didn't preach long, but I want to pray for those. You say, Pastor, I need healing. I need healing. You want to break that? There's an independent spirit that Alaskans can have that's not good. Do it on my own. There's interdependence on God and each other, certainly. But if you have in your heart a rebellion to submission, so it'll be hard to be a part of a church and actually receive from the pastor, from the ministers, the minister and teach and preach there. You'll always have a problem, authority problem. You have a problem on the job. You'll have a problem in your home. Being submitted is not a doormat. It's a willingness to honor and participate and help and serve as a servant of God. It's very different. You're not a doormat. Come on, say, I'm not a doormat. I want to pray for you if you've struggled with that and you just want God to heal you tonight. Might just be one or two people. Come to the front if that's you. You want healing in that area. You want healing. You want healing. Wonderful. Lift your hands to heaven. Holy Spirit, thank you for touching our sister, for touching these right now. Holy Ghost, come. Let your healing power come. Let your healing power come upon these right now. Right now. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. There's a number of you that you didn't respond, and that's okay. I would never want to, you know, embarrass you or force you, but come on, if you have like an inner vow, just break that thing. Just come against it. I'll break any inner vow that I made to be independent my whole life. I'm going to be submitted to God. I break it now. Come on, some of you need to pray that. I pray a spirit of rebellion broken off of people in this place. They have rebelled against you their whole lives because of the deep wounds that took place in their home. I command that thing to be broken, and I pray you would reveal now your loving peace and joy upon them. They would learn that they can trust you and lean on you, not on their own understanding, but in all their ways that acknowledge you, submitting to you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Ghost, fire, healing, right now. Come on, talk to God all across the place. Just talk to Him. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. If you're not right with God, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your heart to Him for the first time or make a recommitment to Him. Recommitment means you drifted away and you know you're not right with God, but you're going to come home tonight. All across this place, those online, you say, that's me. I want to receive Jesus. I believe He died on a cross. I believe He rose again from the grave. Yeah, every service I do this because I know you're going to bring people that don't know the Lord perhaps, and I know that there's people that need to recommit their lives to Christ. Come on, all across this place, every head bowed, intercessors praying. You want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time, or number two, you want to recommit your life. You say, that's me. On the count of three, slip your hand up. One, two, do it right now. Three, God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful. God bless you. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. I see that hand. In the middle, lift your hand high so I can see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Over on this left side, I see that hand right there in the middle. Thank you, sister. God bless you. God bless you. Over on this left side, right there in the back. Wonderful. Wonderful. All right, now I'm going to ask you to acquire some courage. How come? Because Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. Based upon that scripture and others, we have a philosophy of ministry that believes this. If you can't come and stand in front of a bunch of people that love God, it's going to be very hard to live for him out there in a hostile world that hates him. If you raised your hand or you didn't, you know you need to be included in this prayer. Step out from where you are. Meet me right here. We're going to pray together. Come on, come, come. If you raised your hand, come on, come on. There's room for you. Yeah, church, go ahead, clap. Greatest miracle that could ever happen. Come, there's room for you. Come, come on, come, 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 come.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.